versus Tazewell County. Mr. Riffle. That's what we already did.
Good morning. May it please the court, counsel. I'm Robert Riffle on behalf of Alice Guth here today, the plaintiff appellant. This is really the culmination of a 15-year-plus ordeal by Mrs. Guth to obtain zoning of her property, obtain rezoning from agricultural to rural residential.
So I have a question for you, Mr. Riffle, which is whether Ms. Guth ever made an effort to go back to the state court that had issued that agreed settlement that seems to have indicated that she could get the rezoning was done, either to find out the scope of the state court's judgment or to see if the county might be held in contempt or something. I mean, was there ever an effort made to enforce that in the court that rendered the judgment?
Actually, she did, Your Honor. She filed that, and then that was voluntarily dismissed and refiled in the federal court.
So why isn't the court that rendered the judgment the correct body to speak to the scope of that judgment? It's a little difficult for a federal court to come in and take a fresh look at that.
Understood, Your Honor. I think the technical issue that Mrs. Guth was faced with at that point is the law that says that a court cannot force rezoning. So we were left at the time
What law says that?
I believe there is substantial law to that. In fact, I don't have it cited right here with me, but it was cited in some of the earlier proceedings that the court cannot actually order a county board to rezone. It can simply, under the LaSalle and Sinclair factors, determine that the failure to rezone was arbitrary and capricious, but that the court doesn't really have the power to mandate.
What is the difference between a federal court's and a state court's power to provide relief to your client?
At this point, I think there would be concurrent jurisdiction for the different claims.
But now, you say you voluntarily dismissed the state court action?
Correct.
Okay. So if the state court and the federal court can provide equivalent relief, why did you prefer to be in the federal court?
Quite candidly, Your Honor, Mrs. Guth had a 15-year-old ordeal with the county. The county board sits essentially in the same complex as the court in Tazewell County.
Just distrust of the state court deal. All right. So.
Right. I think it was just absolute.
Not a matter of. So the fact that a state court can't order rezoning, that is material, right?
I'm sorry?
The fact that a state court can't order, you say state court can't order rezoning, is not material because you're saying the state and federal courts have the same authority, right?
Right.
But
right.
Doesn't that mean then that the federal court also could right. not order rezoning? And if that's the case, if the substantive law governing this is the law that preserves to the county board the ultimate authority over zoning, then don't we need to look at their reasons for refusing to rezone these parcels, which, you know, at the end of the day, they cite quite a few reasons. They're concerned about, you know, creeping urbanization, and they're concerned about different things. They're also quite plainly unhappy with the state court's ruling, and you see some testy remarks to that effect. But they also give fairly neutral reasons for refusing.
Right, and I think that really cuts right to the chase of what this case is about. If their reasons are legitimate and rational, then they would prevail. It's a very high burden that we have.
Isn't your claim that the present zoning is deprives her of her property rights without due process of law or without adequate compensation a violation of the Fifth Amendment, if I recall correctly. Isn't that your beef?
Well, we...
The present zoning takes property away from her that she's entitled to.
Right, right.
Okay.
So, and ultimately, she was successful in getting the rezoning, albeit at a time when the property did no longer have that.
Well, the market had collapsed. We all know what was happening in the
late. So while she was pursuing all of this and other people...
What damages are you claiming?
We're claiming the damages between the value that it would have had the zoning been granted based on the 2006 request.
Why didn't you go back farther and say the zoning, the property, deprived the property in the original zoning was there when it was zoned agriculture?
Well, I think that would be a legitimate point, but... What we're saying is...
Sounds a little dopey, but go ahead.
What we're saying is right up to the point where we went through that process and the state court judge entered the agreed order, this was a garden variety failure to rezone. LaSalle, Sinclair factors, we believe they were all in our favor. We thought it was arbitrary and capricious for the county not to rezone. Ultimately, we got the county to agree that that was indeed the case. They entered an agreed order. They signed
an
agreed order.
Well, that didn't mean they said they were wrong. They just said, well, settle it thing. We'll let you have what you want.
But,
so
but
that's
Your Honor,
why I keep coming back to this agreed order. It really seems to me that the essence of your issue is you thought you had achieved a good faith agreement on the part of the county to rezone this, and then they pulled the rug out from under you because of this residual power they have to ignore court orders about these things. But let me ask you a different question. Were other properties besides Mrs. Goof's denied the residential zoning?
No, none that I know of and none that are of record. In fact, the Fleege parcel that is talked about.
Well, I know you talked about a couple that did get it, but I wondered if any... Did not.
No, there's nothing in the record to show any parcel was denied.
How many pigs are we talking about?
Zero. As of the affidavit of Mrs. Guth and the affidavit of Mr. Getze established that there were no pigs in the vicinity, and I believe
you mean
the affidavit...
No, no pigs described as swine.
Yes. On page 25, the other brief, it says that it's clearly established that there was a swine
because
facility.
The son was going to take over...
Right.
Hog farm. And
but I think that's the key for our purposes today. Under summary judgment, all facts must be taken as true and in our favor, all reasonable inferences derived from. And I'm looking now at page 1 of the affidavit of Alice Guth at tab A of our brief. No, paragraph 5, no swine facility was operated.
Well, even if there are no pigs at present, if they're allowed to have pigs, right, That would be a legitimate concern of the zoning authorities.
But they're not allowed to have pigs. If they have let that lapse for a year, they can't even put the pigs back in. And the Fleege parcel...
What has lapsed?
A year of not having...
No pigs for a year. You can't restock? Is that what you're saying?
That's right, under that particular designation of a confinement.
Must
facility.
Have continuous... Foreseen presence.
Right. But
let me ask you about the I'm puzzled by the damages. Because of the collapse of the housing market, what value does this property have, pigs or no pigs?
It has land value only as agricultural land, but recall that we have findings of fact that show that some of this land, ravines and trees and such, has no value at all as agricultural land.
I thought your point was that back in 2007, am I remembering this correctly, you actually had an offer to purchase this land, had the rezoning gone forward, and that offer was at a dollar amount that's very much in excess of anything she could sell the land for now. So I thought that was the damage you were looking for.
The measure of damages.
You have a very serious problem there because that's the loss causation problem. And we've had cases like this. If what hurts the property values is something for which obviously the county is not responsible, namely the bursting of the housing bubble, and resulting devaluation of residential property, you can't get that from the county. They didn't cause that. They didn't cause the housing bubble and it's bursting. So if that's the real source of her harm, the fact that their delay was a factor, you wouldn't authorize damages.
There may be some other damages, Your Honor, just inherent in the delay. We're on the summary judgment stage where the question is simply whether...
But was there any harm from the delay other than the fact that the delay by happenstance... having nothing to do with the evil behavior of the defendants, but just by happenstance delayed the rezoning to the point at which the property was no longer worth rezoning, right?
Well, but certainly if she had been able to rezone right at the time, and we have an expert opinion that says it was...
You're missing the point. So here's a famous old case. You tell me how it should be decided. A person gets on a train to go to some destination. And because of the negligence of the railroad, the train is delayed. So he doesn't get to his destination. Instead, he has to spend the night in a town short of his destination. He stays in a hotel. There's a fire in the hotel, and he's injured. Can he get from the railroad his damages because of the fire? Because if the railroad hadn't been negligent, he wouldn't have been in that hotel. He would have been in a hotel in a different town.
Certainly not.
Right. And, but that's this case, right?
But that doesn't mean that we have no damages, even if that's...
Do you have damages or not? You don't have damages.
We do, because she would have made profits back in 2000...
No, that's the whole point.
The time value.
She would have made profit. She would have made a profit because housing values were good. Now they're bad. But if all that the defendant did, that was bad, was to cause a delay, then it's just like the train case.
With this caveat, Your Honor, that developing in year one puts money in your pocket immediately, whereas development in year two, if the market had stayed flat
through that time, she would
have damages at least for the period of time was improperly delayed. We would respectfully submit.
Right.
So we admit that there are some interesting damages issues, but we think Mrs. Guth, in light of the entire record of the rather egregious conduct of the county here, she really is entitled to her day in court. There's no way to reconcile this with a proper purpose. The judge already saying this can be used for rural residential. It was pure spite to say she couldn't use it for rural residential under zoning. The county administrator, everybody said this is bad zoning. It doesn't make any sense to do this. We think that arises to the level of a constitutional right deprivation, particularly equal protection. There's at least a question of fact as to whether or not Mrs. Guth was a class of one deprived of her constitutional rights. We would respectfully request that the summary judgment order be reversed.
Okay, thank you, Mr.
Thank you.
Mr. Holley?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, counsel. My name is Michael Holley. I'm pleased to be here this morning representing all of the Tazewell County defendants, the County of Tazewell, the Tazewell County Zoning Board of Appeals, the Tazewell County Clerk.
So, Mr. Holley, let me ask you the same question I asked Mr. Riffle, which is whether the record reveals whether any properties besides Mrs. Guth's were denied residential zoning during this same time.
The Zoning Board addresses cases on a monthly basis. I'm not aware of any particular ones that were necessarily denied at the same meeting that Ms. Guth's property was addressed.
But within some reasonable period surrounding that, I'm just wondering whether she's the only one who gets turned down, or because we know a couple of others are granted.
No, Your Honor. I've been working with the Zoning Board of Appeals for many years. There's many parties that are both granted their petitions and denied their petitions for rezoning. Ms. Guth is certainly not the only one that's ever been denied by the county board.
So there are these. I'm looking at an aerial map of this. So there are the two. There's the main hog farm and the auxiliary hog farm. And her property, very, very close, all her parcels and her house, they're very, very close to the auxiliary hog farm. The other people who got the rezoning, they're nowhere near the auxiliary hog farm. They're closer than she is to the main hog farm, but they're not very close. So my question is, how many hogs were there at these two farms?
I don't have knowledge of the main hog farm. The auxiliary hog confinement facility, I believe, was used as an overflow facility for swine. At any particular occasion, I believe the testimony was that there could be 60 to 100 hogs.
How many?
I believe 60 to 100 hogs at that facility.
That's a large number. Now, is it true though that because of a lapse in the use of the farm, the pigs can never be returned?
I don't know what the current status is. I believe there are provisions in the zoning ordinances of Tazewell County that would allow for if there is a lapse of use that it would expire. However, at the county board meeting where Ms. Guth's petition was addressed, there was, I believe, in the transcript, indications from a county board member who had visited the facility, I believe it was the day before, and had found a large number of swine were currently present at that auxiliary location.
At the auxiliary farm.
Correct.
So when you look at that hearing, I mean, you see actually quite a bit of resentment on the part of the county members that the state court had entered the order that it did. And there's also talk about, are we going to remain a rural community, and are we going to have, in some ways, if somebody wants residential zoning near a hog farm, you think maybe that's her problem, not the county's problem, because actually buyers might not want to live next to 100 swine, but maybe they do.
Seriously.
Well, exactly. So, what I'm trying to figure out is whether there's any reason that she is denied this rezoning other than just pure resentment at the court's action.
Absolutely, and I think the transcript indicates there was no discussion of Ms. Guth at the county board meeting. There was some discussion of being upset with the settlement agreement that was entered into, which has its own interesting details.
Who was speaking for the Tazewell County parties in this settlement agreement? Was it the county? Was it you, or was it the county officials?
I was serving as the legal representative for the county. What happens is...
And why wasn't the county claiming immunity from suit in that case? I thought that was something that the district court here was worried about.
I don't... You mean in the state court case?
Yeah, in the state court case.
Well, the way that the state court settlement agreement was approved is that the county has a risk management committee, which by a simple majority concurrence can okay entry into settlement agreements regarding litigation. In this case, that's what happened. The risk management committee concurred that the case should be settled.
So maybe had there not been a settlement, there would have been a claim of immunity? Or I'm not sure. Because it seems like a bad faith settlement. I mean, if you've settled with a wink, we'll settle and say that, parcels A, B, and C are suitable for residential use, but we know that actually the county board doesn't need to pay any attention to this whatsoever. I mean, that's troublesome.
Generally, there is immunity from suit under the Local Government Immunity Act. However,
but you must have waived it when you entered into this settlement agreement. Hence, perhaps it could have been waived in the federal action, too.
Well, I don't believe there was immunity to be waived. Under the law, if a zoning decision is arbitrary or capricious, it can be challenged through that means. I don't believe that there's immunity for that.
I thought the problem of the settlement was that You couldn't, by way of a settlement, rezone her property because there'd have to be a hearing and people would be allowed to object. Isn't that the problem? So the most you could give Guth would be saying, well, you know, we're comfortable with this, but we can't actually agree to the rezoning because that requires procedures.
I believe that's absolutely correct, Your Honor. And I think the evaluation that courts cannot order rezoning is correct. The settlement agreement merely addressed the use.
They can't order rezoning because they can't bypass the procedures that allow people to present their case to the zoning board. Is that the idea?
That is correct. It's legislative in nature. And the settlement agreement addressed simply the specific use of her property. It did not address the actual zoning of her property, which is why she was required to bring petitions for rezoning forward. The settlement agreement was approved by the Risk Management Committee and entered into addressing just the use of her property. Then when her petitions were brought forth, they were addressed at the Zoning Board of Appeals, the Land Use Committee, and then ultimately their recommendations are forwarded on.
So these are different people from the risk management people and the other county people who were willing to support her proposed use?
The Zoning Board of Appeals is appointed by the county board. They are not county board members. The Land Use Committee reviews their recommendation. They are county board members. However, they are not necessarily the same board members that are on the Risk Management Committee. Ultimately, the county board as a whole addresses the legislative determination. That board, under these circumstances, because an official objection was filed with the county clerk's office by a neighbor, in order to pass her rezoning petition, they were required to actually have a supermajority vote rather than a simple majority vote.
Is that three quarters? It's a little unclear.
It is. It was a three-quarters vote. Yeah. And actually, in this case, the majority of the board did vote in favor of her petition and in favor of the rezoning, but due to that supermajority requirement, it was not approved.
Question, that Judge Wood asked your opponent. Why do the authorities care whether she, if she wants to have her home, maybe she loves pigs and is not bothered by the noxious odors. So if she wants to have a house near the pig farm, why does anybody care?
Tazewell County is an agricultural community. The comprehensive land use plan indicates that agricultural uses should be protected. And in this case, in the transcript, I think there's a lot of an indication that there's concern over protecting the orderly development of the county and protecting agricultural uses in the county. And I think there's an indication that there's a trend that as residential development or buildings advance out into rural lands or agricultural uses, that they tend to drive out those agricultural uses.
What's the biggest town or city near where all these things are happening?
I believe the closest community is Morton, Illinois.
Is what?
Morton, Illinois.
And how big is that?
I believe the last population of Morton was approximately, and Mr. Riffle may know the answer to this better, but I believe it was approximately 17,000.
So this is quite right. So I see. So I misunderstood. So it's not that the zoning is designed to protect people from having houses near hog farms. It's to prevent the suburbanization of an area that is suitable for agriculture. Is that the idea?
That is correct, Your Honor.
They don't want to have residential development. I suppose there's this notion of coming to the nuisance that you can actually, with your eyes open, buy a house or what have you that is near a hog farm and, you know, bad odors and so on, and then you can still sue to abate the nuisance. So you can imagine a situation where she lives there with the hogs, which depresses the property, and then she brings a suit against the hog farm, saying, you know, you're causing this nuisance. So that would be a problem.
Yes, I believe that's what the county board was very much concerned with.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr.
Thank
Hall.
You.
So, Mr. Riffle, your time had expired, but you can have another minute or two if you'd like.
Thank you very much. The one main point I'd like to make in regard to, I think, that dialogue is, I think we have a question of fact as to whether the county's stated reasons are a mere subterfuge. And
subterfuge for what?
For the animus against Mrs. Guth. There are two different scenarios here. One is that they have a legitimate reason that's based on the hogs and that kind of thing, and the other is that they're mad at Mrs. Guth for pursuing her cause of action, prevailing, and then basically bucking the system in Tazewell County. And 11 of 11 findings...
If they are, if she wants a rezoning, doesn't she need to go... Doesn't there have to be a hearing?
Absolutely. But they can't be arbitrary and capricious. Our first case that ended up in the agreed order...
Can she still ask for... apply for rezoning, ask for a hearing, and so on?
And she did. She did, I think, six different times. The fifth time, she basically got the agreed order, and then...
Right, she has the agreed order, but the agreed order couldn't substitute for the actual zoning.
No, but the problem...
Now, the hearing, right?
Right, but the problem the county has at that point, and Ms. Deininger and her comments make it very clear, they've got a court order that says it has to be used for rural residential. That's an enforceable order. They refuse to allow rezoning, which now serves no purpose at all because people have the right to build there under rural residential. The county just has no right to regulate it as a subdivision. It becomes an absolute spite at that point on the part of the county board.
But you're saying she has a state law right to have a residence there?
Because of the agreed order. The agreed order said this may be used for any use in rural residential. All the zoning was trying to do was to get it synced up so that the agreed order agreed with the zoning in the county, which was a prerequisite to get anybody to finance it. So now you have a terrible situation where she's got an order saying you can build there, but the county wouldn't sync up their zoning maps out of spite.
What do you mean sync up their zoning maps out of spite?
Well, because you've got an order that says rural residential, but technically it's still A1, agricultural. And so the whole purpose of the zoning...
It has to be rezoned, doesn't it?
Correct.
Yes, I know, but the order can't require the rezoning because the rezoning requires procedures.
Right, and the problem everyone was faced with at that point is somebody could go get a building permit, and in fact that's what happened, and build a rural residential house on the property and develop that as rural residential because that's what the order said. That's an enforceable order. It just doesn't meet with the county. And that's what Crystal Deininger said at that hearing. You guys, if you refuse to do this, it's bad zoning. It's not proper zoning because I'm going to be stuck with an order that says rural residential is allowed and zoning that says that it isn't. It's a mess. And the county board, hearing those comments, nevertheless proceeded. And they had 11 of 11 findings of fact from the Zoning Board of Appeal, including the comprehensive plan saying this was slated for rural residential development. All of these facts, and they simply ignored them.
Okay, I think we understand your point. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.